Boardroom Talk, Davos 2026, the Trump Show, but also the BRICS ghost town. If you listen to the World Economic Forum's press office, the 56th annual meeting in Davos, kicking off next week, is a triumph of participation. They are touting a record 400 top political leaders, nearly 65 heads of state, and almost 850 of the world's most powerful CEOs. The theme is a spirit of dialogue. But if you take a closer look at the guest list, which was released this morning, you have to ask, who exactly is having this dialogue? Because from where I'm sitting, this doesn't look like a global village. It looks like a victory lap for the new Western Order, a Donald Trump fan club meeting in the Swiss Alps, notable less for who is attending than for the deafening silence of those who aren't. Suddenly, I don't feel so bad. After 19 years as a fully fledged participant, my invitation was rescinded for this event, not downgraded to reporting press or even one step lower to a hanger-on. Dropped entirely. A voice in my head said someone powerful had whispered in the right ear, and well, the new WEF had listened. Now I know that that definitely wasn't the case. My non-participation is a reflection of something much bigger. The WEF has been acquired. It's been taken over. And ironically, by those who loudly and publicly found evil intent in everything that its founder Klaus Schwab tried to attempt, indeed, mostly in his stated purpose of improving the state of the world. The spirit of debate and inclusion has ended. Little wonder Schwab told me when we chatted a few weeks ago that he no longer recognizes his creation. The headline act of Davos 2026, undeniable and overwhelming, is Donald Trump back as President of the United States. His presence changes the gravitational pull of the entire event. Davos, once the temple of globalism and cooperation, that Trump famously disdained, seems to have pivoted to accommodate this new reality, the new world of Trumpism. You only have to look at the supporting cast. We see Argentina's libertarian firebrand Javier Milei returning, presumably to double down on the lecture he gave the socialist West last time out. He was warmly applauded then. I think you can expect cheers and a standing ovation this time round. Then there's Friedrich Merz, the new federal chancellor of Germany, signalling a shift in Europe's economic engine. And perhaps most intriguingly for Commonwealth watchers, we see Mark Carney listed not as a central banker, he's attended previously as the head of the Bank of England, but as the Prime Minister of Canada. The G7 is well represented with six leaders attending, but the flavour is distinctly different from the Davos of 5 years ago. This is a gathering of the survivors and the victors of the recent populist waves. It is a Western consolidation. But if the West is circling the wagons, the global South, of which we in South Africa are a very determined and enthusiastic member, has seemingly decided to camp elsewhere. The absence of BRICS heavyweights is stark. There's no Xi Jinping, there's no Lula da Silva, and most worryingly for us back home, there is no President Cyril Ramaphosa. For a forum explicitly calling for cooperation in a more contested world, the absence of China, Brazil, and South Africa turns dialogue into a monologue. If the goal is to navigate the major economic, geopolitical, and technological forces reshaping the global landscape. Well, how do you do that when half the world's population and a massive chunk of its GDP simply ghost the meeting? Even the old European guard seems thinned out. While Ursula von der Leyen represents the Commission, the leaders of France and the UK are missing from the top billing. It suggests a fracturing of the old Davos constituency. If the politicians are polarized, the business side is terrified or exhilarated by one thing: artificial intelligence. The release from the WEF notes unprecedented speed of innovation as a major focus, and the attendee list confirms who the real power brokers are in 2026. Jensen Huang of NVIDIA, Satya Nadella of Microsoft, and Demis Hassabis of Google DeepMind are all in attendance. So are the disruptors like Dario Amodei of Anthropic and Alex Karp of Palantir. With nearly 100 unicorns or tech pioneers showing up, the conversation in the corridors won't be about ESG or stakeholder capitalism. It will be about compute power, energy consumption, and the survival in the age of AGI. Bringing it back to the BizNews community, the absence of President Ramaphosa is a missed open goal. Just this morning, we received news that South Africa has been officially removed from the EU's list of high-risk jurisdictions, a massive regulatory win that ends years of friction for our financial sector. No surprise that Treasury is celebrating this as much as it did when the country was taken off the grey list. Davos would have been the perfect stage for Ramaphosa to take a victory lap, to shake hands with those 850 CEOs and to say, South Africa is open for business and your banks can finally trust us again. Instead, the chair is empty. We're leaving that narrative to others. The WEF claims this meeting will provide an impartial platform to look beyond divisions. Borga Brendi, the WEF president, the guy who succeeded Klaus Schwab, calls dialogue an urgent necessity. He isn't wrong, but dialogue requires two sides. What we are seeing in this guest list is a bifurcation of the world order. The West, led by a resurgent Trump administration and a shifted European leadership, is talking to itself and its tech titans. The rest of the world seems to be staying home. As 3,000 participants descend on the snow-covered streets of Davos next week, the champagne will flow and the spirit of dialogue will be toasted. But without the BRICS, without the Global South, and without the dissenting voices that make dialogue meaningful, one has to wonder if they're just shouting into the echo chamber of a fragmented world. I'm Alec Hogg for BizNews.com.